amplitude mode of the d-density wave state and its relevance to high-tissue cuprates. And this work was done in collaboration with Sudip Chakravarti, Jaydi Sao, and Sumantha Tiwari. Okay, first let us try to give a brief introduction or motivation for this work. So we know that even after more than 25 years of efforts, the normal state properties of the cuprate high tissue superconductors, especially in the intermediate range of hole doping, still continues to pose theoretical challenges. And it's a known fact that in this regime, which is the underdoped regime, the system shows a gap in the spectrum, which is much debated and which is of unidentified origin. And this is called the pseudo gap region. It occurs below a temperature T star, which is greater than the superconducting transition temperature TC. And it is believed that a good understanding of this pseudo gap phase is important to the understanding of high superconducting transition temperature in the cuprate. This is a representative phase diagram of a hole doped cuprate, just to show the generic features. I mean, it can vary for various different compounds. So we see here the T star, which is the temperature under which the pseudo gap region, which is denoted by Pg here, appears. And the pseudo gap region appears above the temperature Tc, where the transition to superconducting state takes place. So this is sort of to show you what I mean by the pseudo gap regime. So as I pointed out, that ever since the discovery of this pseudo gap region in the high TC superconductors, it has been a profound mystery, and to this day, its origin is highly debated. Now, there are various views as to what is the nature of the pseudo gap phase. According to one point of view, the pseudo gap region is a remnant of the D-wave superconducting gap that defines a crossover temperature T star in the phase diagram. But there is still another view which says that it's not quite just a remnant of the D-wave superconducting gap, but it is actually a broken symmetry state. And so it undergoes a phase transition, not a crossover, at the temperature T star. So here we will take the second point of view, which says that the pseudo gap phase is probably a state of broken symmetry. And we assume that much of the associated phenomenology can be described in a unified manner by the single assumption of this pin singlet d-density wave state. Okay, so first let me outline briefly the results and implications of this work. What we have done is that we have calculated the spectrum of the amplitude mode for the d-density wave and deduced some important experimental consequences which can be seen for the inelastic scattering experiments in this particular pseudo gap phase. We find that although the d-density wave state order parameter condenses at a wave vector denoted by capital Q, which is equal to pi pi, the spectrum will show peaks or have, we find that there are peaks at both 0,0 and pi pi. And these turn out to be very unusual, and these were missed in an earlier work which was done in a similar spirit. So these are the main results, and we will try to elaborate on them as we go forward. Now, these results shed important light on some recent experiments on cuprates, which quite unexpectedly find multiple magnetic excitation modes as different wave vectors. And so the origin of these are mysterious, and we try to come up with a possible solution in this work. In some previous work, the elastic signature of the singlet d-density wave, some neutron scattering experiments provide evidence for it. The identification of the d-density state can be considerably strengthened further by careful experimentation of the predictions of the inelastic amplitude spectrum that we offer in this work. Okay, so now first let us discuss what is exactly the d-density wave order parameter. I will show you a picture in the next slide, but first let me try to explain it in words. So the d-density wave state has circulating currents or circulating currents in the plaquettes alternating between clockwise directions and anti-clockwise directions in the neighboring blocks or neighboring plaquettes of an underlying square lattice. And this underlying square lattice consists of the lattice of the copper atoms on the 2D copper oxide plane in the cuprate superconductors. So this gives rise to tiny antiferromagnetically ordered orbital moments in this copper oxide plane. And when we see what when we write a mathematical formula for this d-density wave, we will see that the order state breaks, time reversal, rotation by pi by 2, parity, and translational symmetry by one lattice spacing. But of course, the product of any of these two symmetries is preserved. So now let us see how this looks like in the position space. So this is the diagram, which shows you clearly that there are circulating currents in this square packet, and they're going in opposite directions if you take any two neighboring square packets. So this we called the d-density wave order parameter, and this is an order parameter which is a particle hole spin singlet pair condensing at the wave vector pi pi. And this expectation value, C dag or K, C dag or K plus Q, that gives an expression for, a mathematical expression for this order parameter, where this form factor Fk gives you cos Kx minus cos Ky. So this is in the momentum space, and if you try to see what this looks like in the position space, you can draw the picture that I have shown here in this slide. Okay, so now let us try to understand what is the nature of the spectrum that we obtain. Now, the principal result of our work is that the spectrum is not confined to only the ordering wave vector capital Q, which is pi pi, but shows some finite frequency peaks at both 0,0 and pi pi, as well as in some parameter region, it shows considerable spectral weight over a substantial region of the momentum space. So the emergence of a Q equal to zero peak, even when we start with the mean field state that breaks lattice translational symmetry, indicates that these Q equal to zero fluctuations are hidden within the mean field dW wave density state that we start with. And so in this phase diagram, one finds orbital ferromagnetic as well as orbital antiferromagnetic, the picture of which we saw, phases. And this model actually belongs to the university class of the classical six vertex model, which was discussed by Shubhit Chakravarti in an earlier paper. Okay, so now let us just see what is exactly the six vertex model, or what are the current configurations that you can get from the various vertices of the six vertex model. Now, We will assume that there is no source or sink, that is, divergence of the current is zero, and there are two incoming and two outgoing currents at each vertex of the square lattice. So there are altogether six possible vertices. In this light, you see four of them. And in the next, I show you the last two. So these last two are special because if you join these two, you will get the configuration of the ordered singlet d-density wave. So that configuration is obtained by joining these two kinds of vertices. And you can join the other vertices in all possible manners to get various other current configurations. Okay, so now let us go to the Hamiltonian with which we work. So this is the Hamiltonian that you can see. So here we have those two kinds of epsilon k. So the first epsilon k involves T, which is the nearest neighbor hopping. And then the next nearest neighbor hopping is the next epsilon k with a different, it's written differently, you can see that. And it involves the next to nearest neighbor hopping with a parameter C prime. And here, Sk is again the form factor, and Sk is equal to cos kx minus cos ky. So this Hamiltonian is written in the full 2D Brillouin zone. But we will, since we anticipate a commensurate d-density wave order parameter, we will, the further calculations that we do, we fold the full Brillouin zone into the reduced Brillouin zone with the following, with the usual redefinition and rotation of coordinates. Okay, so if you see, let me just point that this out to you. So we have defined this four fermion term delta q hat, and in the next slide we will see that how it represents or how it captures all the different current configurations that you can form by joining the various different vertices of the six vertex model. Now, if you put small q equal to pi pi, then this delta q hat represents our old conventional d-density wave gap parameter or order parameter. If you put q equal to zero, then the form factor turns out to be sine kx minus sine ky. And in the position space, this represents currents flowing along positive x and positive y direction. Again, if you put q, small q equal to this curly q, where curly q is the sum of pi pi and pi minus pi, then you get another different current configuration flowing around, along the positive x and negative y direction. And lastly, for another different value of q equal to q bar, where q bar equal to pi minus pi, this leads to a current configuration which consists of alternate current sources and sinks. But from physical point of view, we will not consider this configuration and we will choose their fugacity to vanish. So the delta hat q that I had in the Hamiltonian can correspond to this kind of current flowing configurations in the placket. And so it represents the full six vertex model. And in our calculation, we find that only the delta hat q, where q equal to pi pi, develops a mean field expectation value in the saddle point solution. Though in the fluctuation spectrum, we will find that there are peaks from other kinds of q's. So here are some details which I will not trace on unless people have questions, but just to give you an overview, we will use a Hubbard-Stratonovich transformation and get an effective action for the fermions and then we integrate out the fermions and write it in terms of the bosonic field. And of course, so we perform the path integral over the quadratic fermionic field, leading to an effective action, and then we expand it out first to first order and second order. So the first order variation, when we set them to zero, we obtain the saddle point equation. So we get a whole bunch of saddle point equations for all the different fields that we have introduced. One such saddle point equation for delta capital Q is shown here, and there are others also which I have not shown. And we also fix the chemical potential from this relation in the lower part of the slide. Now, after we solve or find the mean field values from the first order variation, by setting the first order variation to zero, we can expand the action to the second order and write down the fluctuation. So this is the form of the second order action. It's not very important to look at the details of the form. So I will go to the next slide. So the second order action basically gives us the fluctuation spectrum. And the measurement of the dissipation from any probe or from an experiment that couples to this operator's delta hat will be of the form of imaginary expectation value of delta delta. And the peaks in the response function thus corresponds to the poles of this object that I have denoted by V. So this is just the technical details how we obtain at the fluctuation spectrum. But let us now discuss what exactly we get from the numerical results. So first, we choose a mean field value of the parameter delta Q, the hole doping X, and the band structure parameters in the Hamiltonian, which are T and T prime. And then we solve the set of equations, the first order equations, or the mean field equations, by plugging in these values numerically. Then these are used to calculate the correlators, which we get from the second order action, and this might possibly be measured in future inelastic neutron scattering experiments. So what we find is that there are no static saddle point solutions correspond to generic delta hat Q and delta hat Q plus curly Q for the range of parameters considered. So we get only the mean field parameter delta capital Q, which is pi pi, but the spectrum contains a component also near Q equal to zero. So this can be interpreted as the orbital ferromagnetic fluctuations of the bond current. Though we started with the placket current, which were like antiferromagnetically oriented. So these are some of the plots that we get. So you see that these are the plots of the response function in arbitrary units, but the units are the same for all, as a function of omega by T, where T was the first nearest neighbor hopping band structure parameter. So the solid curve here represents the pi pi, which is the red curve here, and the Q equal to zero, the dashed curve, is the one which is the black curve. So these are the responses for these two kinds of condensing wave vectors. Now for panels A to C, we have taken delta Q equal to 0.3T, X equal to 0.06, X was the hole doping. So for A, we take X equal to 0.06, then for B, we take X equal to 0.1, then for C we take X equal to 0.14, and for D we take X equal to 0.18. And for panels E and F, we have taken X at a fixed value 0.06, whereas the delta Q value for E is 0.4T, and for the delta Q value of panel F, it's 0.5T. So these are the peaks which we find. So clearly we see that there is a zero peak coexisting with a pi-pi peak. So which is the main thing to take away from this slide. Okay, so now let us discuss the plots, or what are the implications of the plots that we get. So we find that in the plots, the underdoped regime shows a noticeable finite frequency peak at Q equal to zero, coexisting with a finite frequency peak at capital Q, or Q equal to pi pi. Here in our representative set of plots, the Q equal to zero goes down with increasing X, but all these amplitudes depend strongly on the choice of the microscopic parameters that we have used. So this implies that the amplitude fluctuation spectrum can have finite frequency peaks at both zero and Q, or you can also get a single peak depending on your choice of parameters. So such study shows that it's highly non-universal. The results strongly depend on your choice of microscopic parameters, and it indicates that different families of cuprates, or even if you take samples at different holes openings within the same family of cuprate superconductors, they may have different fluctuation spectrum, depending, because the microscopic parameters will widely vary for these cases, and it's a non-universal result. And these may have important consequences for the inelastic neutron scattering experiments which one might perform. Okay, so let us try to summarize or conclude. So we have used the functional integral formalism, and using that, we have calculated the collective mode spectrum of the d-density wave state in the pseudo-gap regime. Now here, it's a broken symmetry state, but it breaks only discrete symmetries, and so there is no gapless phase mode. And the central result of our work is that the amplitude mode spectrum of the d-density wave state can be peaked at 0, 0, not only at pi pi, even though the ordered state condenses only at the wave vector pi pi. Yeah, so that's the end of my talk, and thank you for your attention.
I have a few questions.
Yes, sure.
One is, does the d-density wave survive through superconducting transition temperature? Because you are talking about the pseudo gap phase where there is no superconducting order. Suppose
yes.
I go below TC, does d-density wave disappear and superconductivity occurs, or they coexist? And any experimental evidence for that?
Well, I don't think there is any strong evidence about it, but I think that d-density wave phase is destroyed when it is under the superconducting phase. But I think there is a work by Sudip Chakravarty and Samantha Tiwari on this subject, where they consider mixtures of d-density wave state and superconducting state and their behavior when you pass through the transition temperature.
Okay. The next question is, you also said that ferromagnetic d-density wave.
So that means, yeah, the ferromagnetic, because it was like alternating currents in the different neighboring plateaus. So that's what I mean by antiphase.
So, your view is experimentally antiferromagnetic detense is more important than ferromagnetic.
Yes, because the d-density wave state was conjectured to be this antiferromagnetically ordered state. So that was the mother state. So in the previous experiments, they found peaks which supported the view of this antiferromagnetically ordered circulating current. But what we find in this work is that though we start with such a state or with the assumption of such a state, we find that there are fluctuation peaks which has the ferromagnetically ordered current as well.
Okay, my another question is, many people describe this pseudo-gap phase as a strongly correlated system in terms of spin liquid, which is also charged. There are some charges around. So is there a way of describing your d-density wave in terms of spin liquid physics, in terms of some kind of RVD picture in which there are also carriers?
Mm-hmm.
Is there...
Yeah, I don't have much experience about the literature because, I mean, from my background, I don't like have a broad overview about this. But I think there is strong evidence that the d-density wave is like more, the pseudo-gap phase is like better described in terms of the d-density wave. Okay, one evidence that I can think of from a paper by Sudeep is that they try to see they try to argue that why it is the d-density wave state is not just merely a fluctuation of the superconducting state or something like that, because if you say at a certain region of the phase diagram at a certain temperature, the d-density wave and the superconducting wave can exist side by side, as we saw from the phase diagram at a different hole doping. Now, you can try to destroy the neighboring superconducting state or the neighboring d-density wave state and see whether the other one is affected or not. So such experiments have been carried out. It was shown that, okay, the superconducting state was destroyed in the neighboring region, but the d-density wave state still exists. So it's sort of, I think that is sort of an evidence towards the view that the pseudo-gap phase is possibly described by the d-density wave mean field picture.
Last question. I see that you come from a string theory background. Comfortable with condensed matter. So have you been thinking of this ADS-CFT correspondence? Which will be
Not yet. From the group that I have come from in HRI, nobody works on that kind of ADS-CFT applied to condensed matter system. So I have never personally worked on it. And what I feel is that to work on such subjects, I need to have a good knowledge on both sides. So really, I need to know condensed matter in addition to string theory to really do something about it. And okay, I don't know whether I should give my personal view. And also what I think that most of this, or many of these ADS-CFT conjectures are just trying to get some gravity dual given some boundary behavior that you want to explain. So that gravity dual may not be a real string embedded model. So that's why I would like a concrete string embedding that would support such models.
So that means you don't see string theory in two breaks.
No, not personally, not right now. But maybe in future, when I grow a little bit of more experience, I can try to see the implications. But right now, I'm not thinking anything about it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
I think you have to go
right
now. Oh, cable is very long. Okay. Hi. So it seems that the fact that you have peak at both 0, 0 and pi,
yes,
is the universal for any other parameter which has momentum pi, right? Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't understand your last statement.
So you said that you expect peak at zero zero and pi pi, right?
Right. The zero zero peaks have been observed in certain neutron scattering experiments by Greven et al.
Right. And it seems to me that this is quite general feature for a system that has a lot of parameters that carry momentum pi pi.
Right.
So how would you distinguish the density wave from other patterns of all the parameters that carries that momentum?
So this model, I'm not sure if it is like generic for all pi pi, because this model was specifically started with the d density wave parameters in mind. I mean, we expected the pseudo gap region to show a d density wave parameter, and so this the four fermion term was broken up in terms of the delta hat operators with that form factor keeping in mind. So the peaks came out as a result of that, but I'm not sure if it is like if you can get such pictures if you just took some generic four fermion term and broke it up in some generic way into delta hat.
I see. Okay, thank you.
No questions? Okay, then let's kind of stick again.